Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To join the airwaves, you can talk about whatever is important to you. You can talk about what we've been discussing, which is wokeism. Coming up, natural immunity being better than COVID-19. I don't want to say I told you so, because I didn't tell people so. I don't think I ever really weighed in on the natural immunity versus vaccine thing, other than to say it seems to me like natural immunity is going to be at least as good, because that's all a vaccine does, is it gives you a trigger that creates natural immunity in the first place anyway.
Yeah, I definitely heard somebody on Free Talk Live say, like, well, if you get chickenpox, you don't go get the vaccine after.
You don't.
Because you had chickenpox.
Right. Well, that's all a vaccine does, as I understand it, is a weakened strain of the virus that you get injected into you, or I guess injected into you, and it trains your body how to fight it off. Just like if you were to get the actual disease, your body learns how to fight it off. So I'm not convinced that the vaccine could ever have possibly been better than natural immunity, when natural immunity is the result of the vaccine itself. And you don't
I remember those good old days when the government weaponized the common cold. When that first started, I did say this on the air, is that it appears as though this is far more dangerous for older people than it is for younger people.
The disease itself is COVID-19?
What's that?
You mean COVID-19 is more dangerous for older people?
Right, I prefer not to just go ahead and say the proper noun, because of, you know, algorithms and things like that. But
we're way past that point, Matt. I've already said that natural immunity is valuable. I mean,
you're right. Agreed. I just won't. You know, I'm just training myself as
a
broadcaster.
Okay.
So what I did say was, we should keep older people in, you know, older people should get the option to stay indoors. And we have that. It's called retirement, right? You know, if you've got somebody who's 70 years old or whatever, living, working at your business, maybe that's now's the time to let them take some sick time. Maybe give them an extra sick time. But then we could each adopt an older person in our neighborhood and bring them, you know, their groceries and things like this, and that this would be a solution. Then we all get COVID. Now, I'm speaking as a person who, at the age of 50 or 49, I'm not sure which it was, got COVID and had the long COVID symptoms. So it hit me hard, and hit me a heck of a lot harder than most people in my demographic.
I'm beginning to ponder the possibility that what I'm dealing with here in regard to my perpetual fatigue is a long COVID symptom.
Maybe.
Because I'm at a loss to explain it. Otherwise, everyone gets older and all of that kind of stuff, and I'm getting older too. The fact that I quit smoking, you know, inhaling stimulants basically every waking moment of the day could certainly also have an impact. But there's something else going on. I'm convinced of that, and my doctor hasn't found anything. The likeliest explanation, as far as I can tell, is some long-term fatigue resulting from COVID-19.
Well, long COVID's real, and I've been dealing with it since March of 2021, when the federal government gave me COVID through one of their informants. And, you know, it just, I think that we could have handled it entirely differently. I think that people could have gotten it and the world would have been largely okay. We didn't need to crash the world economy.
I mean, we didn't have to force old people to stay. Well, you did say if they chose to stay home. But I think that if they were just given the choice, a lot of them would have still gone out. I mean, sure, lots of them would have stayed home, especially in, like, places like California. My grandma in California was like, it's the end of the world. But my grandma in Alabama was like, I do not want to not see my grandkids. You better not just quarantine yourself for me. I'd rather die of COVID than not see my grandkids. She literally said that stuff. So I think if we would have just not locked down, people could naturally do this. Like, if you're scared, you would just stay home. Yeah, it could have easily happened, but no. Government needed
Yeah, I don't
power.
Think we needed any legislation, any states of emergency or anything like that. And if we did anything, it could have been focused in entirely different ways. But this was just basically China locked down. I guess we're all locking down.
That certainly does seem to be what happened. Bonnie, do you have that story ready? I wasn't really prepared to get into it at this exact moment. We spent the last few minutes talking about it, so I mean, we might as well. Well, before we do that, let's go to the phones. I don't want to do this. I'm going to do this. We have David on the line from New Mexico. David, what do you want?
Stop following their illegal orders.
What?
Stop following their illegal orders. With their orders to close down are unlawful, and so are.
Yeah.
When you're talking about your debate between you and Bonnie, which you ultimately ended up agreeing regarding social workers in schools examining your children and then diagnosing your children and then prescribing your children. We have you guys don't like the founding of the United States, but the founding of the United States did something that actually makes what those social workers are doing illegal. It's called the Fourth Amendment, and it prohibits unreasonable search and seizure.
No, Ian, in that regard, I do like the founding of America. It just sucks that it seems to have been proven to not, you know, to have failed.
Yeah, and I don't want to say anything about
Bonnie. Yeah. The founding documents and the founding of the country didn't fail. The citizens subsequent to the founding of the country failed those documents, and it can be reversed. It can be reversed, but you actually have to do something to reverse it.
David, how do you fail a document?
I don't know that it can be reversed, and that's how it failed. It failed because once people,
he's making the argument that we somehow let down the Bill of Rights. How did we let down this thing that doesn't have feelings or thoughts or intentions?
The documents don't write themselves. They were written by people that are just like us. They were real people.
Well, except they're dead now.
Yeah, but they gave you something. They gave you a legitimacy, an authority to continue being free.
They gave me an overbearing, overarching federal government that ultimately arrested me.
No, they didn't.
They literally did, though. This is literally the result of the documents they made, David. Literally the result.
If, like you were warned, you had jealously guarded your freedom.
I was dead before. I wasn't born when this stuff happened, David.
That's the reason I have to say it failed, is because, like, there's nothing I can do now. Because people, doesn't matter if your premise may be right, that, like, the citizens of the United States could have done more to keep the government in check, and they didn't, and now we've gotten here. But it doesn't really matter in practice, because what I've been born into is an absolute ridiculous, I don't even know what to call it, parasites, gangs, despots, and thieves, and tyrants, and lunatics, the empire, and there's no changing it now. That's why it failed.
Hello?
Yep. I knew he was either going to be attempting to say you're wrong or hello. I was debating on which one it was going to be. It turned out to be hello. You're back.
You won. There was a pool of cash there for you, and you won that pool of cash, Aria. Congratulations. Now
thank
try
you.
To collect.
Yeah, thank you.
yeah. So in regards to I had a response to Bonnie. There is something that you can still do about it. Anybody at any point along the timeline where they recognize that they've been duped, that the people calling themselves the government, which are totally illegitimate, unlawful, fraudulent, and need to be removed under the law, at any point that citizens recognize that, they have the right, the authority, the legitimacy, based on the founding documents, to tell those people that they are now out of office and you don't have to use an election to do it. It's
but in
radio.
Practice,
New Hampshire
that's
has
not going to happen.
New Hampshire has done this. In fact, there was a thing that was delivered to the Attorney General of the state of New Hampshire by the, what did they call themselves? I don't remember what they called themselves. But you're also
shining fists of liberty.
That wasn't it either. This was way more recent than that. But there's also someone you're essentially saying civil disobedience. There's someone upstairs, David, who participated in civil disobedience, who decided that what the federal government was doing was tyrannical and was unlawful, and that, you know, the whole thing was invalid. And what they did was they came down on him, and now they're threatening him with like 420 years in prison. So that's what your solution. That's what your solution leads to. What you can do, what you suggested Bonnie gets to, it leads to the guillotine.
Unfortunately, we live in a world where we, like it or not, individualists, like it or not, and I am such an individualist, it was literally a hard thing for me to come to terms with. Everybody else on the planet does affect you. And because more people on the planet believe that the government has legitimacy, that actually affects my life. I can't just say, well, I figured it out. And now that I figured out that the government's, illegitimate, well, now I can just behave as if it's illegitimate. Unfortunately, I literally can't do that without my life being ended.
Critical mass.
Right. That's why I think education is the only thing that can be done, not the going into
politics. So there's nothing that Bonnie can actually do, David. What we need is the 51% of the people can do something. But Bonnie herself, you lied, and she can't do anything about it. Right?
No, she can. She can be part of...
Oh, she has to be. She can be part of this critical mass. But she herself, as an individual, there's nothing she can do, right?
Well, she's not the king or queen dictator of the country, is she?
Is she the queen or dictator of herself? That's the fundamental question here. Is she the queen and dictator of herself?
Yes, but unfortunately for that scenario, she lives with 329,900,000 et cetera, other kings and queens that are authority over themselves as well, and we have to get along, and so any one of us doesn't get to tell everyone else what to do.
But that is literally how the system is set up, where we do have people telling other people what they can and can't do. It was literally set up that way. It's not a system of 320 million individuals.
I don't think it was set up that way. I think that
it was literally set up to give some people power over others.
Well, that's the truth, and I think that there's, I am not of the opinion that the founding documents were handed down by George Washington from Mount Vernon to Abraham Lincoln and created, this God-given state. But I do think that it was probably the best shot that had been taken up to that point, and maybe even since. I'm halfway in between, right?
If I remember correctly, there were arguments that the Confederate Constitution, other than the slavery issue, but the Union Constitution had that issue within it as well, that the Confederate Constitution was slightly better.
But I've heard that the Democratic People's Republic of Korea's constitution is really good.
Really?
Mm, yeah, I've heard Ian talk about it before, too. It's just they don't listen to it.
It has no stance in law.
I think that they were, like what Mark is saying, I think that they did what was the best shot up until that point. And when people actually read what it says, that rights are from God, or from the universe and not from man, and we're just supposed to protect it. Like, I agree with everything on there, basically. It's just that people have used it to create more tyranny. So I don't think the solution is to fix it ever. I think the solution is we tried that experiment. Now let's live without documents that hold us together and hold us down, really. Because really, your laws, even though I agree that those documents said, like, our rights come from God and not from any other men, it's better to not have that even written down on some kind of document, because that's redundant. It's like, we already know that. We should know that. It should be self-evident.
Well, I think you need to write some things down. For instance, I think the Second Amendment probably could have been written a little more clearly for people who, somehow believed that people who had just got finished running bayonets through their government were really concerned about hunting rights.
I think I could see why you would think it would be important to write things down, but... like every religion, statism, the constitutionalism, whatever you want to call it in the United States, this weird brand of statism has been corrupted and inverted into creating and empowering the exact opposite of what it was supposed to be. Just like you have Christians in America who just spew hate 24/7 and who are convinced that people are, that a dude is going to hell because he painted his fingernails pink. I saw a Christian arguing this on the internet earlier. You have these Christians who are completely detached from the actual teachings of Jesus Christ in Christianity, and you have American statists who are just completely divorced from the teachings of the Constitution. Writing it down more clearly isn't going to be.
I don't even know how you can
change anything.
More clear in the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, and people literally write books.
It did say a well-regulated militia is important to the preservation of a free state, comma. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Yeah, but if we were to write that today, it would just be, since a well-regulated militia is necessary to the securing of a free state, then the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
The people is different than the militia. I don't know. I think it's pretty clear, and there are still people that write books saying that it doesn't say anybody is able to own a bear arms. People are just going to twist it and lie to their own...
that's exactly it. It's just a religion. And it doesn't matter what you write down, they're going to figure out a way to twist it into meaning whatever they want it to be.
You guys, I believe, have fallen into the paradigm, right? Like, the simple fact that you're writing something down doesn't mean that there's a republic. Is David still there, by the way?
He's on hold.
I don't know if I said anything about it being a republic.
That was what was assumed in the premise of this. And I say that government's a service, and that you should determine what services you want and which organization should provide it. You're going to want that. You're going to want some governance.
No,
and governance is a good thing.
I'm going to want private businesses, and I will pay for them when I want them, and then I will stop paying for them as soon as they start trying to put handcuffs on my boyfriend and take him to jail for selling Bitcoin. And I can't do that with the government. I can't do that with any government.
I hear you that the term government touched you in the wrong place. But what I'm going to say is that governance is simply, just regulation. You want people's behavior regulated.
No, I don't.
And absent force
really, you don't
violence.
Want that crazy guy that came up on the porch? You don't want him to stop doing
that? I think it's important
that?
To recognize that there's
nobody's
a difference
Nobody's had to regulate him so far.
I think there's a difference between government and the state here. And the state is a type of government that utilizes force and violence. And I think the state is what we oppose, where, like, IEEE is the organization that oversees the tech world. They are the government of the tech world. But everything they do is completely voluntary. But they're the reason that you can connect any cell phone by any manufacturer to any Wi-Fi network made by anywhere using any ISP, and you can have internet access. It's because IEEE is governing all of these standards and protocols, but it's completely voluntary. But they are, for all intents and purposes, a government of the tech world and how the tech world should be run.
Well,
and
I don't
I'm
know anything about that.
That,
but I don't think I can just create my own, internet service and start using the internet. Like, somebody's going to knock me down. That happened to Chris Wade.
But that's because the state is there, though. And the state would... It's
that's
licensed.
What I'm saying. I don't know what this IEEE thing is. Like,
well, they are the tech body that's worldwide and is not based in any particular geographic area that defines how tech protocols are going to work. They literally
would not define that as a government.
But it is a government. Well, they govern all of technology. They created Wi-Fi technology.
Just because, like you say...
Bonnie, do you think that there needs to be a group of organizations that would regulate human behavior and perhaps act as your proxy when you are not available to protect your property or to protect your dog or any variety of things?
No, I think that if I want to pay for that, then I'm going to pay for the service.
And what does the word government mean to you that it's free? Like, how does, like, is that included in the definition?
Because I don't think that there should just be people going around saying, we are the people, whether you pay for it or not, that determine how people should behave. It should be, if someone wants that service specifically, then they're going to pay for it. And if they don't want that service, they should be allowed to do whatever they want. Nobody should be getting, just... told, hey, you're not allowed to do a certain thing unless it infringes on someone else. So that's what I don't understand that you don't understand.
Okay. So insurance companies do not force their particular policy upon you, right? Like, you have to contract with them. Security companies, which, have private security guards and these sorts of things, they don't force
their services. Yeah, what I was just
talking
about. What, if
right,
I
they don't
wanted
force
my
their
house.
Services upon you. And what I'm saying is that there can be something that we would call governance If you don't like that word, that's fine. We can find something else. But
no, you're just saying that, like, your island could have your government on it because Mark bought an island. Sure, you could do that. I just wouldn't live there.
That would be voluntary, right?
Right. That's what I'm agreeing with. You're just, you always say, I'm going to want a government. Bonnie, you're going to want a government. No, I would literally not live on an island where Mark is the king of it.
Well, that's fine. And
some people may choose
to live where you want.
Honestly, I think I could stomach King Mark. I mean, I think just because I know him personally, I think my life under King Mark would be better than, you know, most people's lives under King Mark. It would certainly be better than my life under the United States.
It's still not the same thing as saying, Arya, whichever way you slice it, without the United States government, you're going to want a government. It's just not the same thing.
Fair enough.
I think you're going to want security, right?
That's not a government, but sure, I might hire somebody to.
No,
hiring somebody to sit on my front porch and shoot.
If you're not stealing this car today, and I will shoot you center of mass if you try, I am the government.
No, you're not.
I'm an organization that is
established. You're just institutionalized.
Yeah, Bonnie's right about this one. You're just a defense force at that point. You're not a government controlling anything. A government is someone who governs, right?
I am controlling the behavior of thieves.
You're defending yourself. That's why it's not.
No, I'm working for Bonnie. I'm defending Bonnie's car.
Okay, well then you're defending. You're still defending property in proxy of whoever owns it. That's not the same thing as being a government.
All right. I think that there is a ludicrous point to say we do not need government and fight it over fight with people over and over again. When what they mean is they want security. And they want stability.
Well, that's
and those
using
things
a word
can be provided by the market.
That triggers
right?
me. Using a word incorrectly really triggers me.
No, governance
because
is not being used incorrectly here.
It is being used incorrectly.
Arya made a distinction between the word government and the word state. In your mind, there is no distinction, but the distinction was made in the conversation. The Socratic method then suggests that you take the definitions as they are provided and work within that framework.
Well, you're using it wrong right now by saying that if I hired somebody to sit on my front porch and shoot people who steal my car, that would be the government.
Not the government. I use the term governance over and over, and I pronounce it very clearly so that you could hear it. It is a form of governance. You are governing the behavior of thieves.
I think that's a stretch. I'm with you on a lot of this, but I think a private security guard standing outside with a shotgun saying, y'all ain't coming onto my property, is so far from any sort of government that it's not worth.
Why would you choose to use that word?
By that point, you're just butchering the word to the point of not meaning anything.
There's already words for that. It's a private security service. It's defense. Like, I don't understand why you need to conflate the two things. It's just because you truly believe, I guess, that the government does services for you that, I would pay for them no matter what. And it's just like, if you would pay for them no matter what, then you'd pay a private company to do them.
Maybe
we don't need a government.
Maybe there's some reason that a private security company wouldn't qualify as a government, but IEEE would. I don't know. I'm going to think about it during the break, but give us your thoughts. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. A major winter storm affecting a large portion of the country is causing widespread travel issues. FlightAware says more than 1,500 U.S. flights have been canceled. The Pentagon warning China against supplying lethal aid to Russia.
There will certainly be consequences for China should they deepen their relationship with Russia.
Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary Sabrina Singh told reporters China has yet to do so, but they have not taken the option off the table. Former Vice President Mike Pence, says programs like Social Security and Medicare need to be addressed. Speaking to CNBC this week.
We're looking at a debt crisis in this country over the next 25 years that is driven by entitlements, and nobody in Washington, D.C. wants to talk about it.
Pence called for them to be examined in the long term, as he commended House Speaker Kevin McCarthy for not leveraging them against a debt ceiling increase now. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live, and you are invited to join us, 603-283-6160. If you would like to weigh in, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Bonnie.
And joining
and
us,
Mark.
Yeah, joining us via remote, of course, is Mark. Sorry, Mark, I'm so used to saying in the studio tonight that I didn't, you know, think about it before I said it. And then I was like, well, we also have Mark who's here via remote. So anyway, I also wanted to tell you about our members program that we have over on Odyssey, because you have, it's similar to the YouTube membership program, but except it's, you know, it's Odyssey, so it's not governed by YouTube, which is good. So check it out, video.freetalklive.com. That will take you directly to our Odyssey channel there. And if you don't want to sign up for your support via Patreon, our Odyssey channel provides you with a different way that you can do that. You can use debit cards, as I understand it, just like you can with Patreon. It's got all of those normal payment methods, all of that great stuff. That's video.freetalklive.com. That will take you directly to our channel there, video.freetalklive.com. Let's not keep going with the phones right now. We can come back to that. So anyway, we were...
Oh, what?
Yeah, well, it's Sarah in New Mexico. She wants to talk about some boring New Mexico crap that no one knows anything about and no one's going to care about. So...
Okay.
Yeah.
You do what you want. You're in first chair.
Yeah, so... she knows that. I told her that. And I was like, Sarah, no one knows what the hell you're talking about. I'm going to bring her up, so might as well. Yeah.
You can tell her sometimes, think of a new topic, and then sometimes if you roll the dice, her topic will be better.
Yeah, but there wasn't time to roll the dice and do all of that. Sarah, what's on your mind tonight?
Have you heard about paint? Paint it forward? You know, instead of like the pay it forward, it's the paint it forward. So we have this new homeless shelter, you know, the Gateway Center?
No, so I do not know the Gateway Center. Why would I know the Gateway Center, Sarah? I've never been to Albuquerque.
We're going to have, instead of that old jail turned into a homeless shelter, we're going to have a new center. It's called a Gateway Center. So all of these painting companies are going to donate their painting abilities and paint it forward to paint the center. So it's like a charity donation, but in labor. So, you know, but
it's a great idea. And it's all being done without government. How does that make you feel, Sarah?
Well, the government is involved because the government has to give authority. They have to permit them to do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, they're good because they could have said no.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard.
It's like, we're going to paint the center just because they want to for free. No, this is working with the city government. And it turns out it's a national, Paint It Forward is a national movement.
Okay. Why does the city government own this center?
Oh, yeah. It's run by the city.
I know. Why?
The homeless shelter.
Why?
Because it's all, I have no idea, because I guess it's the church-run shelters, it's not enough to take care of all the homeless people. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. I suspect that the church homeless shelters would be more than enough, but they're probably restricted from doing so, just like the one here in Keene is restricted from doing so.
Well, the thing is that we have more people, the economic instability and the inflation and the rent going crazy. So many, like thousands of, I don't know, we got about 5,000-6,000 people that are getting tossed out on the street. And we're trying to get rent control. So that we've always had a lot
That'll
of
help.
Homeless problems.
Well, Sarah certainly thinks it was. Sarah, congrats on the new thing that you have going on there, the Paint It Forward thing. That's great. I always love hearing about a charity that's doing something good, and it sounds like Paint It Forward is some organization that's doing something good, and that's great.
Did you mute Sarah?
No, I just hung up on her.
Oh, because I was going to ask.
Sorry.
I just thought of it, so it's fine. I was going to ask her if she's going to go donate her time to do it, or if she just
wants a great to question.
Call around and lobby others to
do this.
Well,
this is her. This is what she does. This is her gift to the world, right?
Yep.
Is that she calls talk radio, and one of the few that actually still take her calls, she calls talk radio, and she preaches to the masses. That's literally what she thinks.
But she usually has different topics, and I appreciate her for that.
Traffic lights and traffic cameras, those are the old standbys.
I'm trying to think of the last call of hers that I appreciated, and honestly, I can't think of one.
Yeah, she's had some...
Oh, I know. She called in about a bill in New Mexico that would have made it legal for the... Or, you know, would have made it to where the government could give people the option of becoming chemically castrated to get out of... jail sooner. That was pretty interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that could lead to an interesting conversation. I would certainly not have minded that particular
and
conversation.
It's
better than
New Mexico specific. We do talk
right,
about
because
a lot
they're
of,
not the only ones that have done this, right? There's been other states that have proposed these sorts of programs.
Massachusetts started offering, like right after, or not started offering, but they're considering offering letting people donate their organs and blood and marrow and stuff like that to get out of jail sooner.
Wait, and I sort of understand the logic behind it. If it was true that you always got into jail by committing some sort of sociopathic or amoral or immoral act, right? In which case, being willing to donate your flesh or your time or your body or whatever to society to pay for the harm that you've done in some way would suggest that you have reformed and that you have become a better person and you are no longer sociopathic or immoral. However, not everyone in jail, even a small percentage of people in jail, are actually there for reasons that are actually immoral. Something where they actually committed aggression against someone, like some sort of violence, some rape or murder or a battery or something evil like that, or theft. Most people are going to be in there for something that's completely victimless, like most people are in prisons for drug violations, not hurting anyone. So it's not going to prove that they're reformed because they weren't, and that they're now moral because they weren't immoral when they went there in the first place. They just did something that the king had said, thou shalt not do.
Another thing that Ian brought up that I was like, dang, that would be awful, is what if judges started just giving people 6 month longer sentences than they normally would anyway, because they can get these 6 months off or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, 6 months doesn't matter if you've got like a 30-year sentence. So, you know, it should probably be a percentage or something like that if they really want to motivate people. But the fundamental problem is that you can sign a piece of paper that says, I'm going to be a bone marrow donor. And then as soon as you get your 6 months and you get out of prison, you just rescind that and it's poof, it's gone.
No, they would do it
plus
in
the fact
jail.
That drug addicts are probably bad people to be donating stuff.
They were going to be doing it in jail, because that was one of the issues in the Massachusetts thing. Like, some activist who was talking against it was like, we don't have good enough health care in jails for me to trust that people should be getting their organs taken out in there. And I was like, dang, that's
what
kind of
organ
a
are we talking? Only organ I can think that you can donate is a kidney.
Yeah, I don't know. They just kept saying organs.
Well,
this was a couple weeks ago.
I sort of see where
they're
coming
from. You may be able to donate bone marrow, but I wouldn't be able to say for certain.
I mean, everything I've seen about the medical industry in prison, even the federal prison, which is supposedly better than the state-run prisons, is terrible. So I sort of get why. I'm not fully comfortable with the idea of the federal government doing organ transplants anyway. I mean, that's what China does,
well,
right?
Well, I think that they would get to go to a hospital to get the transplant done, but then there's, like, lots of aftercare when you get
right.
a kidney taken out, and that aftercare would be in the jail system.
Yeah, I certainly didn't mean to suggest. I thought they were taking you into a back cell with a saw. Like, all right, let's get that kidney.
I mean, it's crazy enough that women have had their babies in freaking jail cells. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I actually got a story about that I've been wanting to get into for a week or two now. It's about a woman in Florida who is pregnant, and she is in prison for murder.
Well,
and therefore, her baby, her unborn child, is being held without trial and without being charged.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
That
it's
is.
A really interesting story.
So
yeah.
The child can go somewhere, but where? You know,
These pro-choice Republicans who argue that the fetus, you know, is a person from
right.
the moment it's conceived, right?
Right?
Like, okay, so they're unlawfully holding.
And you
person.
Can't just say that the baby, it doesn't matter because the baby's inside of the walls of the uterus or whatever, because you're really affected in utero. That's one thing that's been, I don't know, really interesting me about the idea of abortion recently is I've learned how much babies can be affected while they're in utero or whatever it's called. Like, their personalities start forming in there. Their, amount of fear that the mother has can impact whether or not they have asthma and stuff like that. Everything about the mother's environment starts affecting the baby while they're in, I don't want to keep saying in utero because I don't know if that's the right term.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, that's in a uterus.
And It doesn't matter whether any of that is true or not, as far as I can tell. The conservatives, the Christians, the Republicans, however you wish to characterize them, they literally argue that the fetus is its own separate person. That's key to their entire abortion argument, is that it's not part of the mother's body, that it is separate. It's its own person. So whether the fetus is being affected or not, it is, by definition, a person being held against their will without their permission, without being tried, without even being charged.
Yep.
And there's
it's interesting, that's no doubt. I'd like to talk about the convict and 6 months thing. So if you're talking about taking somebody's kidney for 5 months off of their prison sentence, because in a federal, even in the federal system, 6 months is 5 months. I mean, 5 months is the recovery time for this kidney. I can't imagine a circumstance where I would take 5 months off of a prison sentence in exchange for my kidney.
I don't know for sure that it was 6 months, just to be clear. This was a couple weeks ago, and me and Ian were just saying if it was 6 months that they give you off, the judges might just start, like, for example, then the judges might start giving 6 months extra. I don't know how long they might be able to get off. But, yeah, there are people who will probably make that decision because they're just silly.
Well, when I spent some time in prison, for those who do not know, and one of the ways I got some time off was by getting my high school diploma. Now, I already had a high school diploma, but the prison really wanted you to take this GED. So I took the GED, I got the highest score in the history of the prison, and I got either 30 or 90 days off. Not exactly the biggest amount of time in the world, but I did it.
Did they not know that you had a diploma, or they just didn't care and you got a GED too?
Pretty much they didn't care.
That's weird. Anyways.
And I mean, that's not sacrificing anything other than time, and you have nothing but time in prison. You need something to do, and the GED thing gave you something to do with some of your time. So
Not exactly a solid analogy.
Yeah, that was a win-win all the way around.
Right. I think that everybody, you know, would like more convicts, ex-convicts, to have their GED. So I think that that's generally what was offered. But, you know, it didn't seem like much to me. I'm like, well, I'm exchanging one afternoon of, you know, going bubbling some stuff in on a standardized test, and then I'm going to go to work afterwards in exchange for, I think it was 30 days off of my prison sentence. Okay. And that 30 days was actually 20 days with the way that, you know, time was calculated.
Why does that happen? I'm so confused. Why is it 20 and not 30 if they tell you 30?
Because time acts differently in the prison system. Under the federal prison system, you generally do about 85% of your time. In the Florida system that I was under at that time, you generally did, for every 30 days you did, you got 20 free. So.
What the hell does that mean?
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't understand what that
means. For every 30 days you did, you got credited for 50.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, that's neat. The 85% thing in federal prisons, that was a particular sore point for Christopher Cantwell, who called into the show to talk about, you know, his time in prison. And among the things he said was that he was supposed to have been released to a sort of halfway house. I don't remember exactly what the term is, but that's part of your federal sentence is supposed to be this 6 month to a year, a portion of your sentence at least. At the end, it's supposed to be spent in one of these halfway houses where you're not in prison, but you're not quite free anymore. You have to report to these people. You're under a sort of glorified probation. But his time in that was denied, and he ultimately spent extra time in the actual prison system. And when he pointed this out to his probation officer, he was like, well, I can, you know, if you want more time in the halfway house, we can certainly do that. And like, no, that's not the issue. I want to be done with this. But I would have appreciated it if we had done this correctly, and if I had spent the last 5 months in this halfway house instead of in prison. But I don't know the ins and outs of how the federal system works. I'm hoping I don't have to find out.
Well, I can tell you have no rights as a prisoner, nearly no rights.
Right.
And that when it comes to classifying you and deciding where you're going to be in prison, there is no right. Like, there's no right to a halfway house. There's no right to work release. There's none of this stuff. So they send who they wish to send, and they hold who they wish to hold. And this is one of my deep fears about my coworkers going off to prison here in the relatively near future is that they'll be put in the media management unit, which is maximum security, and that concerns me.
Yeah, not good thoughts. So anyway, I think these are good thoughts. We wanted to get into, did we have time to get into the natural immunity article?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I don't want to end the show thinking about prison. I try not to end things thinking about the impending possibility of a prison sentence.
The thing about this article is, it wouldn't be that interesting to me if it was just like, I don't know, Epic Times or something that I know usually agrees with me on this stuff. This is from NBCNews.com, and the headline is, immunity acquired from a COVID infection is as protective as vaccination against severe illness and death, study finds. And it's just like, they're admitting it now.
That's amazing. So they are literally admitting, and you said, this is MSNBC, you said?
NBC.
NBC, yeah. And they're literally,
I go so far as to say it also is more effective against infection. So what they're saying is that the one value to the vaccine is that you're less likely to be severely ill and less likely to die if you have the vaccine. And there appears to be pretty good evidence of this. I know I'm going to get all kinds of emails. Whatever. But I would say that the natural immunity, if they're claiming that the natural immunity is as good as the vaccine in this particular area, that is big news, because natural immunity makes it much less likely that you will even catch the disease a second time.
Mm. I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, I'm pretty sure I just got it once. I didn't get it when the feds came here and coughed on Bob and all that other stuff that Captain and Mark and I think Euaria and Nikki got it. I didn't get it that time because I had got it in October, like 5 months before.
Yeah, I got it from, what, as far as I can tell, from Michael Hampton, who was here in the studio one night when I came by to do something. It was something about the automation program. I needed to get a copy of something from him. And he happened to be here, and then he ended up testing positive for COVID-19. And pretty much that same week, myself, Mark, and Captain all became sick. So, to me, it's pretty obvious that we called it from Mark Hampton.
Michael Hampton, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Hampton. Sorry. Sorry, Mark.
We're just so used to catching things from Mark.
He is pestilence, right? So, yeah, in my opinion, Michael Hampton is the one who got us all sick, and that makes sense. He was a cancer patient with a non-existent immune system who was in and out of hospitals all the time where people with COVID-19 were constantly going. So, like, yeah, it seemed obvious that being around, that he's a catalyst for getting everyone sick with COVID. But, you know, I lost my sense of smell or taste for like 7 weeks, and that sucked. And I was sore for like a day, and that was the extent of it. I don't even remember the being sore part. I remember that it happened, but I don't remember experiencing it. I do remember the eerie sensation of not being able to smell or taste anything.
Yeah, it was super weird. It happened to me too in that October, but other than that, I just wasn't even sick. Like, I always just like had allergies, but they've gotten like a little bit better since moving here. But since I was like from Texas, when I was in Texas, I was on Zyrtec all the time, so I just always had allergies. So I had kind of like that mixed with not being able to smell. And other than that, I was like totally fine. I went to work and everything.
So what else does this article have to say?
It says immunity acquired from a COVID infection provides strong, lasting protection against the most severe outcomes of the illness, according to research published.
But you have to survive it, right?
Yeah, yeah. From a COVID infection, yeah, it doesn't say. Yeah, of course, if you don't die from it.
Yeah, so if you don't die from it, it's less likely you're going to die from it. That to me, that's almost a tautology. I don't know what exactly it is about that argument that I find
there's
so
interesting. There's more people have caught COVID more than one time.
Yeah.
And although it's not that common, and that's why I'm saying that the COVID-19 infection makes it far less likely that you would catch COVID-19 again, that's sort of what they're saying. And I think that it's a strong and important statement in so much as there are plenty of people out there that are, you know, like would have a year ago said, you're trying to kill us all if you don't get the vaccine. And now that we have some time between these claims and, you know, today, we can see that none of these claims were true, and that hysteria, no matter how dramatic it is presented, is not necessarily worth listening to.
Well, that was my experience with hysteria from the clown sightings of 2016 that almost everyone has just sort of forgotten about, but I remember them. And I don't know anyone denying that they happened, but it was nothing but hysteria. I'm convinced that it was either a viral marketing campaign for the movie It gone wrong, and then blew up to a point where they couldn't claim responsibility for it. They had to quietly bury it.
Wow, that would be really interesting. I did hear that it was just for It.
It very well could have been. Or it was an operation by the CIA or some other federal government to study the effects of hysteria and how they spread in society, because we watched the exact same things play out 5 years later, 4 years later with COVID-19.
Yeah, it could be a similar test that they're doing with the UFO balloon thing.
It very well could be. And with COVID-19 and the clowns, like if you just replace clowns, yeah.
Forgot about him.
But if you just replace Slenderman, clowns with COVID-19. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry. The Slenderman thing sort of, did a similar thing. It may just be people like, oh, let's scare the neighbors and take a picture of a clown. Bob, you put on the clown suit. I'll go get the picture. You stand across the field. Like, you know, people love to be part of this.
Yeah.
And if you've got a clown outfit sitting in the closet, why not just go ahead and put it on and take a picture?
Wait, the Slenderman is different than the clown, right? Because yes. I forgot about Slenderman. God, that was really creepy. There was, like, all kinds of kids in my high school.
See, Slenderman was after my time. Like, I was out of high school by that point. I dropped out.
There was just lots of boys that would tell you stories like, no, seriously, like, I saw Slenderman. And it was so scary at the time.
And they probably believed it, right?
I don't know.
That's the fascinating thing about this hysteria, is that they can become convinced that they did, in fact, see Slenderman. But from a long time ago in World of Warcraft, there was this gaming event where people got infected with a disease. And it became a real-world model for studying the spread of disease. One of the things that biologists hadn't considered was the possibility that some people would knowingly and intentionally infect others with this disease, as they did in this video game where the consequences were so non-existent, right? You would die in a video game and you just have to come back just a few seconds later. But what we found with COVID-19 was that actually happened. There were people here at a bar in Keene who got in trouble with the college because they tested positive for COVID-19 and they intentionally went out with the expressed intention of infecting other people with COVID-19, which is exactly what we learned people would do from this video game.
Oh, I wonder how common that is, though. It's pretty psycho.
I mean, it's similar, though, to the Slenderman thing where people want to be a part of it, and some people are just bad faith actors, and they want you to be afraid. They want to do you harm in some way, and if that means telling you a scary story that isn't true, then they'll do it, and if it means infecting you with some disease, they'll do it. Some people are just immoral.
Now, on that same bus in high school, I heard about the movies, what's it called we were talking about the other week, Saw, and I just really wish that I never heard those stories, because like I purposely never watched them, because I didn't want to be disturbed, and I'm still disturbed by them all the time.
They're not very good movies. I mean, they're really not. I've seen them all a few times. I think I've seen them all. Last I checked, I've seen them all. And they're just not very good. They do have the shock value that you would expect them to have, but I would say the first one is worth watching, but none of the others are. And you probably have already heard everything about the first one that there is to see, and it's been done.
I've heard nothing about it except that it's a horror movie, and that's all I need to know.
Right, really?
I wish I didn't hear
Well, anything. The first Saw was actually fairly revolutionary in how it approached this whole torture porn sort of genre with its own compelling little twist at the end that no one saw coming. It was quite well done for the time. But everything done since was complete garbage. And even in hindsight, Saw, it just had those few redeeming characteristics to what was really a bland and boring and uninteresting movie. We're out of time for tonight. You can talk with me about horror movies because I watched them over on our social media server. Over at social.freetalklive.com, and there you can say whatever you want. social.freetalklive.com.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.